This time we'll go over our scripture for the month, which is the Great Commandments, recorded in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31a. Alright, we've been going through this last couple of weeks, and I trust that you should have gotten down or pretty close in getting that down. Yeah, let's read it, and if you already know it, you know, let's say it. Without looking up at the slides, okay? All together. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, with all of our strength. The second is this. You should love our neighbor as ourself. Okay, I like for us to focus a little bit more on that second commandment. That we should love our neighbor as yourself. And I want to give you just a moment that you ask God today to show you someone that you need to love. Someone that you could care for. Someone that you might need to listen to or to encourage or support. You say a short prayer right now. You will love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, I'll give you a moment. You, let's quiet hearts and pray. Amen. We have our scripture reading this morning. It's about Jonathan and David, two buddy old buddies. We're going to talk about their life. If we could stand and let's read 1 Samuel 18:1-4 together. Okay. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David. He loved him as himself. That day Saul kept David with him, did not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took the rope and gave it to David, along with his tunic and with everything, and his belt. The Lord richly bless the reading of his word. Please be seated. We are in a spiritual battle today, every day, whether we acknowledge that or not. It is happening. Maybe we might not experience real bullets that's being fired at us, but there are spiritual darts that are being fired at us. In Ephesians chapter 6, Apostle Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. He's out to get us. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world. And against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Satan is roaming around like a lion, seeking a prey to devour, to chew and gobble up, to tear us apart. Notice what scripture says concerning about this in 1 Peter 5:8. He says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Yes, that is true. Satan's looking for a way to trip us up. He's looking for a way to rip us apart. He can. Godly men and women are aware, are totally aware that this battle is happening around them. And not only that, but godly men and women not only are aware, but they know the resources that they have so that they're able to come back against this enemy. You see, if we are aware of some danger, we become much more cautious. We look around. We better prepare. But if we're not, then we become vulnerable to attack. Are we aware that we're in a battle? Are we fighting this battle alone? Or are we fighting this battle with a whole group of people backing us up? Take a look. Yes. Choose to fight alone, and if we do so, we really do not stand a chance. The lion will rip us apart. However, if we were to connect together with a whole herd, with a loving community that would back us up, we could take on that lion. We stand that lion. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. As believers, we are to watch out for one another's back. Bear one another's burden. It goes on and says in verse 10, it says, therefore, we, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. As we are to do good for others, but particularly for the family of God. We need to come together as a herd. We need not to fight alone this spiritual battle, but we need to fight as a loving community. It would be wise for us to band together to fight against our enemy. And it is the enemy's desire to tempt us to sin, to turn away from God so that we will not be able to fulfill the God-given purposes, the purpose of fellowshipping God. Satan will do whatever he can to turn us away from God so that we will not be able to fellowship with him. And the other purpose, so that we will be of service for God and serving other people. Satan's out to get us. And to come back against the devil or enemy, we need to set up a strategic defense by developing a loving community, a herd that will be there by our side to fight against our enemies. We need help from God. We need help from others, believers that are around us. We need help from ourselves too. Well, how do we go about seeking help from God? As we read earlier in Ephesians 6, we recognize that we're in a spiritual warfare. And Paul says that we are to put on the whole army of God. But as he talks about this whole armor of God, he gives us two great offensive weapons that we can use as we combat our enemies. And we see the first one in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The Lord said, you have the sword, use it. It's an offensive weapon. We're out in battle. Unfortunately, many of us have the sword, but we do not use it. It's just like going to battle with your M16 and you don't just leave it on your back. That's senseless. God says in His Word in Psalms 119:11, says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. One of the best ways of dealing with the temptation of sin, and we're constantly being attacked and bombarded by Satan to make us tripped up by sin, is to memorize Scripture. Hide God's word in our hearts that we will not sin against God. I recommend, just as an application, that we select or identify, first of all, areas that we might struggle with. Choose one of them. It might be lust. It might be anger. It might be procrastination. For me, for a long time, it was pride. Whatever it might be. Go into the Word of God and find verses as to what God has to say concerning about this area of sin. And memorize it. I would recommend choosing three verses from Scripture. And memorize it throughout the week. Write it down on a 3x5 card, or this is my little memory verse card that I keep in my Bible. That throughout the day I might whip it out and just review it. So that I could hide God's word in my heart that I will not sin against Him. That when those temptations come, we can whip out our sword and be on the offensive end and not be sucked in to temptation. We know what God can do to give us strength through His word. The second offensive weapon that God's given to us in the armor is prayer. We see again in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. We have a tremendous advantage, again, that God's given to us an offensive weapon, that is prayer. We need to use it so that we can have victory. Instead of focusing on the temptation or the sin, we're to focus on praying. Focus on praying. Let's be on the offensive mode. I'm sure how you might be able to do this. When we're tempted, I like for us to think about someone that we know that might not be saved, or someone that might have been saved and have gone astray. And I want you to pray for that person. Think of one that if that person would turn around and be committed to God, then that person can be a tremendous destructive weapon against Satan. You know someone like that? Boy, if that person would just turn around, or if that person become a Christian, boy, that person could really hit our enemy hard. You know someone like that? Identify a person like that. And when you're tempted with any particular sin, turn to God and say, God, save this person. Turn this brother or sister back to you so that he or she could do mighty things for you, that you could be destructive to our enemy. Let us use prayer as an offensive weapon. Can have great damage to Satan's kingdom. Let's pray with conviction, believing that God would do something about it. May we have victory when we are confronted with sin. Our loving community, not only consisting of getting help from God, but also getting help from others, particularly believers in Christ. May we seek people that will love us enough to care for us. Don't be straggler in the pack behind the rest of the group because the lion will identify those that are alone and will pounce all over that person. They'll look for them first, the loners, those ones that sort of wander off on their own. Because they're most vulnerable. Don't fight alone. Fight together as a herd, as a loving community. Surround yourself with a loving community. Be connected to others, and particularly others that will love us enough to really care for us. If you haven't already, join a small group, join a fellowship, connect with other believers, so you will not fight alone. What is best is if you can find one or two trusted friends. Friends that would accept you, but yet at the same time wants to help you to grow. We find this real unique friendship in Jonathan and David. We read this in our scripture reading earlier in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1. Look at what they had to say to one another. It says, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David. And he loved him as himself. Does this sound familiar? The second command, love your neighbor as yourself. And we see here, Jonathan's word, I love him as I love myself. True demonstration of that. Jonathan, you see, was the son of King Saul. And he was next in line to rule. And Jonathan did not see David as a mighty warrior and be threatened by him as a competitor. But he accepted. He accepted David. Even accepted David in spite of his father chasing David as a fugitive. He loved them. He cared for them. He loved David as he loved himself. And we see in the first part of this verse that they were of one spirit, that he was of one spirit with David. This phrase, being one spirit, is the understanding of being knotted together, being tied together, being bonded tightly together. Where if anything were to happen to one, it will greatly affect the other. When one person is hurting, the other person feels the pain as well. And when the other person might be rejoicing, the other person celebrates and rejoices with him or her. This trusted friend not only accepts us, but also encourages us. You see, when King Saul wanted to kill David, Jonathan went up to him and went up to David to encourage and support him. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 16 and 17. It says, and Saul's son, Jonathan, went to David at Horash and helped him find strength in God. Don't be afraid, he said. My father, Saul, will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second. You, even my father, Saul, knows this. We all need encouragement. We all need support. We all need someone that will come along our side within our loving community and be there to encourage us during difficult times. We need a loving community. Do you have someone like that? They'll be there to encourage you when you're down. We have the responsibility to be actively pursuing a loving community, and particularly one or two friends that will come along our side. Connect with a fellowship, small group, or find a mentor. They'll be there to encourage you. I'm thankful for the Lord for providing me a couple of men that love me a lot. We get together once every couple months. They'll listen to me, share my frustrations. They're there to encourage me. lift me up. In between, they would write me notes through email to encourage me. Sometimes they might send me a card just to remind me that they're thinking about me, that they're praying for me in a regular fashion. We all need a loving community. They'll be there to accept us, to encourage us. But not only that, but also to defend for us. You know, when we're in trouble, we want someone to stand by our side, to defend us, to back us up. We see Jonathan again. Spoke up for David, although his father hated David. Notice in 1 Samuel 19 again, Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, "Let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He has not wronged you, and what he has done has benefited you greatly. He took his life in his hand, and when he killed a Philistine, the Lord won a great victory for all Israel. And you saw it and were glad. Why then would you do wrong to an innocent man like David by killing him for no reason?" When someone is talking bad upon us, do we have someone that would stand up and be your loyal friend and say, "That's not true"? Would defend us? We need the loving community. A loving community that loves us enough to really, truly care for us. But not only is enough to care for us, but we also need to love. We need to find a loving community that will be love us enough to confront us. There are times that we go off the path and we need someone to truly say, "Hey, you're going off path. And get back on the right track." I believe one of the highest demonstrations of love is to speak the truth in love. Notice what Scripture has to say. Ephesians 4:15 says, "Instead of speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in Him who is the head, that is Christ." And when we might have stumbled or sinned, it is important for us to have a loving, trusted friend that will confront us and restore us back to the Lord. Notice in Galatians 6:1, it says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, for you also may be tempted." We need a community of believers that will love us enough to confront us, would shoot straight with us, care enough to tell us when we are off track. When David had an affair with Bathsheba, and he tried to cover it up by killing Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, God sent Nathan to confront David's sin. And notice what Nathan said to David. Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul, and I gave you master's house to you, and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if all this has not been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittites with the sword, and you took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Amorites. We all get off track every now and then. Our enemy wants us to get off track so that we will not be able to fulfill the God-given purposes that God has given to us. And when we do get off track, it is imperative that we have a friend that will be there, hold us accountable. Those areas that we struggle with, we would feel safe enough to share it with this trusted friend or two. Asking him or her to hold us accountable, to ask us about these areas because we struggle with it. And when we have a herd, when we have a loving community that surrounds us and backs us up, when we're up against temptation, we will be victorious. I love to work. I believe a number of you do also. Kind of workaholic type. Sometimes I work too hard. And sometimes I kind of abuse my body, push it to its limit. And I thank God for some accountability partners, some of you. Oh, love for me. Various times you would come up to me and say, Pastor Fred, are you getting enough sleep? Oh, Pastor Fred, are you delegating stuff out enough, or are you just trying to do it all by yourself? Or Pastor Fred, are you spending enough time with Ellie? We all have areas that we struggle with. We need to be true to ourselves. And we need a community of believers, loving community that will back us up, that will hold us accountable, that will ask us hard questions. May we give permission to those couple of friends that say, hey, ask me. Please ask me these important areas so I would stay on the right path. Because if not, it's easy for me to stumble. You, the temptation. I need a community of believers, trusted friend that would love me enough, care for me, as well as love me enough to confront me, hold me accountable, so that I might be able to defend against attacks that comes along my way. Not only do we need help from God, need help from others, but we also need some help from ourselves. We got to help ourselves a little bit. First of all, we need to be in shape emotionally, so that we could fight the battle well. I talked about that last week. To fight our battles today, we must take care of old wounds in the past. We all have old wounds, and we don't take care of it. It's always there. May we seek forgiveness. Forgiveness from God, from others, as well as ourselves. We spent some extended time talking about that last week. So may we be in shape emotionally so that we could handle attacks. Because if we're not, we become much more vulnerable. We also become vulnerable if we're not in shape physically. I've been there and done that too. When we're worn out, we don't take care of ourselves. We become more vulnerable. We need to take on personal responsibility. We need to take care of our body. Let us get adequate rest. Let us eat right. Elijah had a draining confrontation with the prophets of Baal and Mount Carmel. After being exhausted from ministry, he basically got burned out. And he went to God and says, God, I wish to die. Totally burned out. He was not in shape physically to continue the battle. Maybe some of us here, pretty worn out. Whether it might be work, or family, or ministry, or all three. Maybe we have run ourselves ragged. We haven't gotten enough rest. We haven't eaten right. Notice in 1 Kings chapter 19, what did the Lord do to refresh Elijah? It says, then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. Some of us just need to get some rest. Sometimes burn the candles on both sides, you know, that this very little margin. May we take good care of ourselves. Because if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't take care of others. We can't love others. Remember, love others as you love yourself. Let's take good care of ourselves so that we might be able to fulfill that second purpose of being of service for God. So serving others that are around us. Because when we are physically weak, then we become vulnerable. Get some rest. Stop eating the junk food, fast food. Eat a real meal. And when we have the proper energy, then we can serve God much more effectively. We talked about relationships during the last few weeks. Relationship, our relationship with God, love God. We also need to learn to love ourselves. Memory verse says that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. We need to take care of ourselves. We need help from God. He has provided us offensive weapon in the Word of God and prayer. Let's use it. May we not fight alone. May we fight as a herd. May we connect with others. We need help from others. Other brothers and sisters that come around us. They will love us enough to really care for us. To accept us, to encourage us, to stand by our side, to defend for us. As well as we need them to love us enough to confront us when we get off track. Draw us back. Restore us in a caring fashion. We also have some personal responsibilities. We need help from ourselves. We need to check our emotional state. Maybe we need to seek some forgiveness from someone. We need to check our physical well-being. Are we getting enough rest? Are we eating right? Exercise. Because when we run ourselves ragged, we become vulnerable to attack. Let us not fight by ourselves. Let us gather a loving community over. Remember those water buffaloes? They all came together. We need each other. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the body of believers that we have. Father, we need to be connected to you. We also need to be connected with one another, Lord. We can't fight by ourselves. And Lord, there are some of us here that might be kind of worn out, straggling behind with the rest of the pack, alone. Lord, may we reach out to find a loving community. And may we ourselves look for others that might be in no situation and come up to their side and says, I'll be your friend. I love you enough to care for you and also to confront you when it's necessary. Lord, help us to recognize that we cannot fight the battle ourselves. Indeed, we need a loving community. Lord, back us up.